Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Surviving Sister Wives contains adult content that may not be suitable for Latter-day Saints or sinners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to Surviving Sister Wives.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Carly. And this is Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 2, Seeking Danielle Davis.
This will kind of be like a episode 1 and 2 combo. We'll get you up to speed. But if you couldn't tell already, that's the decision that we've made here. This is the direction that we're going to go for a little bit, at least, on the public feed.
Yeah, we're going to take a break from Sister Wives, and we're going to recap the season of Seeking Sister Wife that's currently airing on TLC. Again, that's season 5. If you have not been keeping up with Seeking Sister Wife over the years, I would say go back, just watch seasons 3 and 4. You don't need to go all the way back to the beginning. There are just two couples in the season who were returning from seasons 3 when we first met the Merrifields, and then the Davises were new in season 4. If you just go back and watch those, you'll be all caught up on their storylines, and you don't really need anything else.
Everybody's having trouble finding season 1. There's all sorts of legal issues that are popping up at the beginning of the series, so that's why season 1's a little hard to come by.
But doesn't matter anyway, because none of those families are still on the show.
No, they were all terrible, too. So don't watch those at all.
So these episodes are going to drop on Monday mornings so that you have it to listen to before the new episode of Seeking Sister Wife airs later that day.
And as usual, if you're on the Patreon, you'll probably end up getting those on Sunday night instead.
As early as Corey is able to provide them.
This is true.
I just realized I didn't rewrite the episode description.
Do we do that for these too? I'm trying to remember, because the last time we recapped a show that wasn't Sister Wives on our public feed, it was Married at First Sight. And I don't remember if we rewrote the episode description.
I think
for those.
I did. All right. So this time you're not getting one, but next week, yeah, I will rewrite the episode description.
We'll make up for lost time.
So this is what we have from TLC. Tensions run high when Shane meets Grace for the first time. Oh, shit. It's the couple's last name that I can't pronounce. The Salahuddins? I probably just butchered that. I hope I did not. Navigate Naeem's disapproving mother. And the Davises are rocked by an unexpected development. Things don't go as planned when the Merrifields travel to Mexico to meet Natalia.
Natalia Grace, actually. Yeah, that's the spoiler for this season.
That's my dream season of this show.
That's the crossover you hope and dream for.
There's always hope for the future. I don't feel like the Merrifields are going anywhere anytime soon. Should we start with them, since they are our longest returning family on this show?
I don't know. I'll have to clear out some of the sperm that's in my brain, I suppose.
I have to.
Yeah, my sperm out of your brain, I guess.
According to Garrick. So this is none other than Garrick and Danielle with two N's and two L's. To catch y'all up, Danielle and Garrick have been married for many, many years. Danielle and Garrick got a legal divorce a few seasons ago so that he could pursue marrying Bert, who was their Brazilian future sister wife to be. Things went downhill with Bert. It turned out that she was only interested in receiving money from them.
Well,
she really
and
never
the D.
Well, and the D. She did get the D.
Very quickly.
She never really had the intention of coming to the U.S. And so now they were left back at square one.
Well, and it was as soon as they started looking for another, they were looking for a third wife. And then Bert was really not interested in any of that, too.
Oh, yeah, that did happen
last
season.
That was a whole amount of drama that Bert wasn't ready for. I think there's a lot of people who are open to plural marriage, polygamy, polyamory, if they're going to be the last person in the equation.
Well, Christine knows that deal.
Seems to be the trend that we see, especially on this season of Seeking Sister Wife 2.
This couple is insane. I don't know what else to say about it. I'm sure if you watched the first episode and you saw Garrick's entire explanation about how when a man and woman have sex, that the man's sperm enters into the woman's brain, and that it has something to do with
biblical,
the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, the biblical translation that Garrick is reading into is that when the Holy Spirit fills you, it means like filling you to the brim.
Like with brownie batter.
Like a pump and dump. Yeah.
Yeah. Gross. The interesting thing about this show is sometimes there's a religious connection as to why they're pursuing, and it's really polyamory. It's not always polygamy. Like, that's one of the confusing points of this show. In this case, Garrick has determined that Christianity supports polygamy.
His version. Yeah. His personal Jesus version of Christianity, polygamy. God has told him and Danielle to seek this out, that they need more wives, sister wives.
I feel like mostly him.
I feel like a lot of it's driven by Garrick, and Danielle's kind of along for the ride.
Well, this is the thing about Danielle. I feel like she is your ride or die, like for sure. She's never going to abandon Garrick, even though he says the most ridiculous things. You can see on her face that when he's talking, she thinks he's full of shit. But she's here for the long haul, so she's just going along with it.
Well, I feel like my initial read of Danielle was that she doesn't have the self-esteem to think that she deserves anything better than Garrick. Mm-hmm. So that's why she is here.
I think it's that mixed with a little bit of like she's everyone's number one cult member. Like Garrick could have gone in two directions. He could have decided to do this, or he could have decided to start his own cult and like a mega church. Which would have fit with his outfit this week because he was very Joel Osteen looking on the couch there. But Danielle would have been there for it.
He has kind of a Joel Osteen like face.
I'm telling you.
The hair.
He could have been a TV, what is that? A televangelist?
Televangelist.
A televangelist. Well, yeah, that's a very hard word for me to say as well.
But like, I think, yeah, but he's too much of like a...
He doesn't have the charisma for it.
He's like too high. Yeah, he's like a high landscaper. Who's trying to run a cult. And it's like, that doesn't work, man. There's no crossover with that.
Do you think that he smokes weed?
I think he's just, yeah, he's very leveled out.
I think that's just like his state at all times.
Yeah, but like that's not what you need from a cult leader, though.
Okay, so he was missing a piece of the formula.
Yeah.
But he had the thought process.
Oh, yeah, it's there. His rationalization is right on track. But we're going for it this season. We come to find out that they're going round two for a Brazilian sweetheart here because I guess they paid for the Rosetta Stone subscription for Portuguese and they're like, well, we got to put it to good use.
I would love to say they did, but they have not learned one word of Portuguese.
It's true. No, they downloaded the local version of Google Translate and it's the Portuguese version. So they were like, okay, well, that's what we're going to stick with, right?
No, it's because they bought 100 tiny Brazilian flags on Amazon and they can't return them. So they're like, we're going to reuse them. We're going to upcycle.
Yeah. And Garrick has a type, if you couldn't tell.
Not Danielle.
Not Danielle.
Poor Danielle.
This is Garrick's choice.
So now they've met Natalia, who apparently has just graduated from law school, which adds a whole nother like piece of confusion for me as to why you're willing to up and leave where you're currently at, where it seems like you've been working hard to establish a life for yourself.
And Danielle's trying to explain, she's feeling apprehensive about this. She even feels like they're kind of rushing into this. This seems too soon. They just had their hearts broken by Bert, who refused to get back on the plane. She just narrowly escaped the Merrifields last season.
Which, if you've probably seen one clip from this show, it's Garrett crying about Bert.
How he misses Bert.
I miss Bert.
But there was, I think Danielle was trying to play this off that her heart was broken even worse than Garrick's when Bert left and did not come back.
When Sister left.
Sister is gone.
I don't know. Do you think it was because she was comfortable with Roberta? Like, she didn't really feel a huge threat from her. And so if it was going to be anyone, she was happy that it was going to be Roberta.
Well, I think Danielle was just starting to get some of the joy out of torturing Bert through the process of adding more wives, where she was kind of reveling in that discomfort that Danielle had to overcome when Bert was joining. So she was wanting to put Bert through the same exact torment that she had to go through herself. And now she's missing out on that. There is no frame of reference. We have to start all over.
Classic first wife problems, I guess. Can't even call it the legal wife because she's not.
Nope. And even though Danielle is apprehensive about this, we already know Garrick is ready to propose. Basically, have they even met in person?
No, they've never met her yet. They've only met her online. They can't speak a word of the same language, and he's already made a ring.
Which means he's going to whip it out at some point.
He's going to whip a lot of things out when they first meet her in Mexico, including the ring. But that won't be the only thing he whips out. That's for sure. That's what this is all about for him. It just seems like all he wants to do is, he's a sex tourist. They go to Mexico every year so that he can bang a Brazilian woman who they then never bring to the United States.
Yeah, they've been trying to collect them. He's like a sex tourist collector, but then he hasn't been able to retain them.
The big question here is really, what is Natalia's motive? Is she a genuine person who's interested in this life, or is it going to turn out like Bert, where they really thought that Bert was excited about joining their family? She met their kids, and then it turned into this situation where she was just asking them for, like, she got like $10,000 out of them. So is this just a matter of time until Natalia starts asking for money? Does she have other motives? Who knows? Because it hasn't been enough time for her to actually ask them for anything, because that's how Garrick likes to operate.
Well, it doesn't seem like, based on the conversations that were happening, where they're telling some family members about their plan here, about what they're looking to do to go meet up in Mexico with yet another Brazilian suitor for Garrick, and I guess Danielle, but mostly Garrick. Taking it slow seems to be, like, that's the general consensus from everyone involved. They're like, maybe we should, you know, slow down and get to know this person a little bit more. You can kind of gauge their intentions a little bit more before you start introducing your children to them and having unprotected sex at a resort in Mexico.
And applying for a K-1 visa.
Can we maybe try to assess the situation a little bit more? Do we know if this person has a job? Are they applying for jobs now that they are out of law school?
Those visas take a long time to process. He's just trying to get ahead of the situation here.
He's trying to get ahead out of this something.
I was really grossed out by the part in the episode where Danielle was talking to him about wanting to slow things down and had to put his feelings in the forefront to try to get him to see where she was coming from, where she was like, I'm more worried about your feelings than I am mine. Like, what if this ends up not working out and you end up crushed again like you did with Roberta?
But the way he looks at her and he's like, but I'm horny now. That's the problem. I don't care about a broken heart. I need to bang this out.
Well, and God, he showed up in their garage one day and he told Garrick, and apparently Danielle, that this is what they had to do.
Kind of, yeah, it was not so much Danielle. I don't think Danielle was there when that breeze rolled in to the garage. Have you ever had those days? You'll catch a good spring day, early summer day, where you open the garage door and it's a little breezy out. You get a nice cool breeze rolling in, but it's that new, the warm sun, warm air.
You think that's what happened to him?
Winter's over.
It was just a change of seasons.
Yeah, that was a seasonal breeze that he is attributing as an act of God commanding him to to go slam some Brazilian puss in Mexico.
Oh my God. It's horrible, the whole thing.
I don't know how Danielle keeps going along with it. That's what's surprising to me.
I don't know, especially at this point where he was like, that's nice, but I'm still probably going to propose to her on this trip.
Yeah, he's diving in dick first, like he always does.
That's where it seems unfair in these situations, right? When you've agreed with your partner that you're okay with exploring this lifestyle, and then all of a sudden they don't seem to take your feelings into account. That's going to breed resentment and problems, and that's going to be a place where jealousy stems from.
No, Danielle's just going to smash those feelings way deep down and never address them and never bring it up ever again, because she's a good wife and that's what good wives do. So that's what she's doing.
I mean, you're right, but...
You can tell on her face. That's exactly what's going on. You can see how many layers deep her emotions are when she just clocks out when Garrick's talking on a couple of different occasions. Already this season. We're two episodes in.
Disassociating.
Just...
multiple times.
How far down are we going?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Well, they're wasting no time. We're in episode 2 and they leave for the trip to Mexico. And it's not just Garrick and Danielle going to meet Natalia this time. I want to keep calling her Roberta, which is funny because Danielle slips up and calls her Roberta at one point.
Same thing, yep.
It's hard to get used to. But they're bringing their two kids with them, Jeremiah and Solomon.
Yeah, don't bring your kids on your bang trips.
I mean, maybe like point one, correction point number one.
And at first I was like, you know what's weird is that they're acting like they're ignoring the fact that they have children that are involved in these decisions. And then they're like, oh, don't worry, we're bringing the kids along for this one. And I was like, that's not the level of involvement I was looking to get.
No, and at one point, Danielle talks about how the kids were devastated when they found out that things fell apart with Roberta because they had grown really close to her. Why are we going to repeat that again then?
Well, to be fair, we're not going to go to Cabo because that would be too weird to do the exact same thing over again. It's just too many Bert memories there. So we're going to Cancun instead.
They can't keep going to the same resort with many Brazilian women.
Yeah,
they housekeeping, gotta mix it up.
Housekeeping's like, we can't have you back. We're still cleaning the sheets from the last time you were here.
Disgusting. So they get to Cancun. They're in their hotel room. Everything seems to be going fine. They're very excited for Natalia to show up. And then cut to the black screen of doom. And we find out that at 5:45 in the morning, the production crew got called over to their room because some shit was going down.
So this is where it gets a little tricky here, because we don't really know what the issue necessarily is at this point. It's sounding like, because remember, there's a bit of a language barrier here. It sounds like they're not allowing Natalia and Natalia's mother, who were going to be coming on this trip, they're not letting them onto the plane because of a visa process that has not been fulfilled.
So what they were saying, from what I understood, was that they were under the impression that it would be fine for them to travel to Mexico from Brazil just using a passport. And when they got to the airport, they found out that not only do you need a passport, you need a specific visa.
Usually that comes from consulate, so normally that's something that you would apply for. Depending on where you're going, where you're traveling from, and the levels of hierarchy and structure that are in place between those two nations, it kind of depends on how complex that process is going to be. Is it something where you just have to fill out a form that confirms those that information, and then they just check the box and say, yep, you're good? Is it something that's longer and more arbitrary that's going to take like 6 months to actually get through that process? It's not like she's applying for a work visa. You already have a return ticket. I think it should be a fairly simple process here.
So once they started to explain what was going on, it sounded very similar to the visa that's either going to be put in place or already went in place to travel from the United States to Europe, where it's like you pay like less than $20 and you apply online and you get your visa in a few minutes.
It's an extra fee that you have to pay.
Yeah.
To go visit type of a thing.
Basically, it's not like some long drawn out process. That's what this sounded like.
It sounds like that sort of scenario. What's confusing to me is when production, so the producers are in the room with Garrick, who's freaking out and crying already, that, that his Brazilian booty is stuck and is not shipping on time. And so he is already breaking down and crying. Production is like, hey, what's weird is this website that you go to apply for this visa, we have been able to do that twice since we've been in this room. And it has been approved and they've sent us an email, like instantaneously.
Because Natalia's saying it's not letting her
It's
not working.
And they're not letting me on the plane without the visa and I can't access the visa. So then production's like, well, that doesn't make sense, though, because we have been able to apply for it and it has been approved multiple times since we've been standing in this room. So what is the deal? Why is she having a complication? Is this just an excuse that she's coming up with saying, oh, no, can't make it? And she didn't want to say that she changed her mind or didn't feel comfortable going on a bang trip with these people and their children.
And her mom.
So is that the barrier that we have now?
Or is there actually really something going on with the visa situation? Who knows? I don't understand. I'm going to need them to, number one, stop bringing their children on these trips. Number two, why don't you let the person who's traveling from another country arrive a day before you do? That way, if they decide not to show, you just don't get on the plane and go.
Well, I think they were planning for this to be a family vacation no matter what.
Well, that's weird too.
Well, now they're just going to go on some jet skis, probably a couple of excursion trips that they're going to be able to chalk up to heartbreak.
Garrick's going to be in a shitty mood the whole time.
Oh, he's going to be crying his eyes out.
Why don't they just go to Brazil?
I think Garrick is afraid of Brazil, but
like, are they only able to go to Mexico? That's the only place they've been going.
As far south as he can go.
He can't go any further south than that.
He doesn't go south.
Just throwing that out there. Maybe you go to them.
I feel like Garrick would be an American tourist who does not fare well in Brazil.
Hey, you know what? We need another Paul from 90 Day Fiancé.
Well, no, we don't. We really don't.
We really don't.
We really don't.
But if there was someone who could match that energy, it would be Garrick in Brazil. Do we want to go to another one of our returning couples? The Davises?
Yeah, the Davis family. So we have Nick, Jenny, April, and Danielle.
Jenny? When'd she become Jenny?
They were calling her Jenny.
Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer, April, Danielle, and Nick. Yeah.
Yep.
That's them. The backstory on this one, very interesting. Nick has figured out how to make polygamy work for him. He is not technically married to any of these women. April and Jennifer were the first women to join the family. And he was like, you know what? Just marry each other. I think that's the best solution here. And actually, while you're at it, can you both work full time? And I'm going to stay at home and study physics. Not for like work or anything, just for personal enjoyment.
So that's, yeah, we pick up in season two, and that's basically what's been going on.
It's been working for them. And then they last season, they met Danielle, and they had a wedding at the end of the season.
Which was, it was a spiritual wedding, because basically what we're leading up to now is that Danielle needs a wife to marry as well. And that is becoming the storyline for season two that we are going to explore. So we thought.
This is the family who sleeps all in the same bed together. Last season, they were living in a much smaller house with a much smaller bed. It was getting kind of hard to squeeze four people in there. And of course, they want to expand the family. Plus, they've added a baby. Little baby Vera has joined the family. And so they moved into a bigger house. They got some kind of custom-made bed situation. And Nick made sure to get that thing big enough to fill it up with a couple more wives. So now that they got the space, they're ready to open things back up and start dating again.
I think he said it was like a 12-foot bed. I don't know. How do you make the bed? How do you put the sheets on that thing?
They were doing it. We watched them make the bed in the first episode.
Every time you're going to go change the sheets, you're going to have to get every single person in your house to make that happen.
That's true. Also, PSA, you should be washing your sheets one time a week, like minimum.
And vacuum your mattress when you take the sheets off, too.
And with that many people, four people to a bed, I feel like you got to wash the sheets more often.
And he's a stay-at-home dad, so I guess he's got time for that.
You're right. That's Nick's job, so.
Supposed to be.
Do you think that that would, like, get stuck in your washing machine? Is it, like, just too big of a sheet to wash?
Yeah, you would have to take that to, like, an industrial
cleaner. A dry cleaner?
Yeah.
We have a lot of questions specifically about the bed that we need answered.
Just the general logistics around that bed. But my other question then became immediately was Nick's wardrobe, because I didn't think that wearing a shirt and tie, dress shirt and tie to be stay-at-home dad, that didn't really seem to line up for my expectations with, like, a newborn baby. Well, not newborn, but like...
Corey, what was that outfit? I mean, it wasn't just a... It was not just a dress shirt and a tie.
It was looked like he was going to the Player Haters Ball.
Yes! What was going on? He had a pocket square. I was like, oh my God, he got a job. He has to dress up for work every day. He's doing a little over the top. No, he's going very over the top because this is just for him staying home with baby
Vera. This is work from home.
Which I guess I'll say, I'm going to give Nick some props that he transitioned into the stay-at-home dad life. He didn't just make it like, all right, now I'm going to need you, Jennifer, to stay home and take care of the baby.
Or grab another wife real quick to take care of the baby or help with the baby. We didn't go that route.
No, it appears that he is the full-time caregiver for Vera. I'm sure it's taken away from his studies, but...
He should be able to catch up on any of the other developments in
physics. The very fast developments in physics.
I think he should be able to stay up to speed on that if there are any important developments there. But what we're running into this season is that they're pushing Danielle to... Well, that was the story for the other segment, too, was pushing Danielle. So this Danielle is getting forced into, hey, it's about time you pick a wife so that you can get legally married, and we're expanding our team here. Got to build the firm. And Danielle's like, that's great. Not really looking to do that right now, though.
She was so against the idea of them dating again. She's like, it's too soon. I don't really know. It's very obvious that she is not into the idea, whether it's that she just feels uncomfortable with them bringing another person into the family, or that maybe she doesn't actually want to be married to anyone, or whatever the situation is. Maybe she's not really enjoying her time with them at this point.
Maybe she thought she was going to be the third and final wife, despite what they told her about expanding this and growing the family, and we're still going to continue to do this even after you join.
Yeah, so that's the conversation that Jennifer and Nick have in the kitchen, where they're talking about what's going on with Danielle. She doesn't seem like she wants to do this. And Jennifer's like, I don't know. She's known from day one that our intention was to continue growing our family. That beyond her, we were going to keep looking for wives to join the family until we felt like our family was complete. So it shouldn't be a complete shock that this is something that we're interested to do now. So I don't think that it's too soon. So she was on the very anti-Danielle club in terms of her reaction to the situation.
And Nick's solution was basically, well, if we find somebody who's really good, who Danielle really likes, then she'll change her mind. So that'll be good. Let's just kind of force her into it, find somebody that she can't say no to, and then it'll just happen.
I mean, that's how Robin joined the family, right?
It's good.
That's what they did, with just force Janelle and Christine to get used to it.
I just don't know how, when they were having that conversation, they were talking about how, yeah, they were going to continue adding wives until the family is complete. When does that happen? When are we making that determination? What is it that's going to convince them when they wake up in their 12-foot bed that we have all the wives that we've intended to have join this family?
When you're sleeping really close to the edge.
I guess so, yeah. When we can't get a bigger bed than the 12-foot bed. This is the biggest bed.
And then the drama. The screen cuts to black for a second time in this episode. And we find out that shortly before they were supposed to film, Nick called the production team and said, "Hey, we got a problem. Danielle moved out."
He just packed up and left. We didn't even get to have a "it's time to shape up or ship out" sort of conversation.
She had no conversation with anyone.
She just dipped.
She almost dipped with no one knowing it happened, but Nick heard her moving some stuff around and got up to see what was going on and saw her moving things into her car. And she was just like, yeah, I'm moving out. I got an apartment. So I'll be seeing you."
So there was no closure. There was no goodbye, really. She did send a regret text at one point, which then Nick had to read on camera.
It wasn't to Nick. It was to April. So it was, she didn't even tell Nick.
But April didn't, she couldn't read it. So she had Nick read her text message.
She couldn't read it because she was going to get emotional.
Right.
Not in the Leah Michelle way.
Yeah, not in the illiterate. There wasn't a language barrier on this text.
And what she said was, like, she loves them, she misses them, she hopes they're doing well, she's got things to figure out for herself, and best wishes.
Best of luck to you on your future endeavors. But I feel like the rest of the Davis family right now are trying to get a conversation with Danielle on the books so they can go talk on camera. One, so they have some content for this season, and two, so they can just reel her back in. You got to rope her back in, get her back into this mindset that, hey, it was miserable for us, so it's your turn to be miserable. Get on board.
Okay. I feel like that was a pretty solid text of good luck to you. I'm not interested in ever coming back.
Oh, you thought it was a definitive closure piece for Danielle.
Yeah, I think that was what she was attempting to do by sending that text.
I don't think that was the message that was conveyed.
All right. Well, what they got from it, you mean, not like what her intention behind it was.
Yeah, I don't think that was clear enough to the Davises. If that was Danielle's intention, I don't think they got that message.
Now, it seems pretty serious if you went out and you rented an apartment without telling them that you're probably not coming back, right?
Yeah, or that you don't want to tell them because they are going to talk you out of it.
That she didn't want to have conversations with them about being unhappy or whatever her concerns were. She just escaped in the middle of the night or something. So more to come with the Davises, but we're back down to two wives right now.
The Salahuddin family? Is that how we're saying this?
I think you got that right. Salahuddin. I think I butchered it at the beginning.
Okay.
So this is Nyla and Naeem.
Yes, and there wasn't a ton of stuff. This was kind of like rehashing, or not rehashing, but like summarizing, concluding a conversation that started in episode one.
I'm wondering how much we're going to see of them this season, because I feel like between episodes one and two, they really dragged out what's going on. Whereas like the Merrifields are in like fast forward mode.
Well, and we're still getting introduced to a family next week. In episode three, they're going to introduce a family. So I feel like there are a few stories that are just kind of, some are slower, some are quicker.
That's usually what happens when they end up having to fill in some time. So I guess we'll see. But where we are with this family is, the whole idea of polygamy was brought up by Nyla because she was exposed to it through Islam. So they're making it very clear from the beginning that this is her idea, not his. And at one point in the last episode, she was explaining why, which to me sounded like it's because Naeem is needy and needs more love and attention than she's able to give, so she wants to bring another wife in to help fill that gap?
I don't know if that was it. It sounded like she grew up around polygamy. She had more experiences with polygamy. It's kind of a normal thing for her. And what she was piecing together, or the correlation that she made in her head, was that when a woman is there to support a man, the better he becomes. So if there are more women to support the same man, then he will become an even better man.
I think we have a story that we can point to that shows that that's not always true.
Not always true. And that could lead to, my immediate thought was when they were going through their groceries and we were talking about just some of the foods that were being distributed in the house, there was a lot of health fare, a lot of concentration on specific foods that were very, very healthy oriented.
Didn't they talk about the pH thing too? Like,
yes.
The Snowdens used to talk about?
Yes. So I feel like this might be one of those relationships where when they did get married and then they kind of both fully brought themselves into the relationship and said, hey, here's what I need. And they went, uh-oh, that's a lot to handle. And so I feel like this is like a Cody and Mary relationship where it's like, all right, we need to water this down. We need to dilute this relationship.
I feel like that's what I was trying to say at the beginning, but didn't articulate very well.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so it seems like they need to bring in another person at this point, which is what they're looking to do. And so they've met someone named Keisha. She lives in Georgia. They've never met her in person yet. And step one is for them to talk to Naeem's mother and get her kind of prepped for the situation that's about to go down.
And she's not having it.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
She's not interested. Her recommendation, maybe don't get another wife, maybe get a dog, maybe get a cat. These are the types of solutions that are being thrown around. I don't think she fully gets it either. She's trying to say that she's being open-minded. I don't think she's necessarily being open-minded to this because there's a lot of ridicule and judgment that's coming from her.
Yes, but also, I don't know that they've made like a very good story as to why they want to do this. And they haven't really told her anything about Keisha other than the fact that they met her, they like her, she's attractive.
They're all going to live in one big house. They're going the Biggie Housey route here. That is the plan. One big family, one big house. Mom's freaking out at this point now. And I did like the point where Naeem was like, look, I'm telling you this so that you don't just show up one day and there's this other person. Like, I'm giving you a heads up that this is something that's happening. That's why I'm talking to you about this.
I don't think she felt like it was a heads up. I think she thought it was a let's talk through this. Let me give you some sage advice, which was to not do it. But they're too far. You're already on a show called Seeking Sister Wife, so it's going to happen. They're going to meet her.
So that's pretty much what's going on.
I think there's potential for a lot of drama with them.
Well, yeah, just the mom in general. You knew that.
She's the star. I need her to return.
Yeah, that was going to be the main catalyst for this story.
The last couple that we have in this episode are the Sherwoods, Ashley and Shane. This story is a lot already.
Yeah, this is an interesting dynamic because this is one of those relationships where it's not based in religion. This is kind of a polyamory type situation, but mostly because Ashley is bisexual. She's married to Shane. She is currently pregnant with Shane's baby, but she is interested in dating women at this time to kind of explore that because it's not really something that she was able to live out.
The thing that I'm unclear on is how involved Shane wants to be in the relationship.
That is what's interesting, because this all started off in the first episode. It was Ashley and Grace. She's been dating Grace. They've gone on 5 or 6 dates maybe at this point.
This one's a weird one too, because she knew Grace before they started exploring polyamory. So Grace was her makeup artist and hairstylist for her wedding. And then I guess they found her, it sounded like, on a dating site. So there's already like a little bit of history between Ashley and Grace. And the weirdest part of it has been they've been having a relationship together completely separate of Shane. They've been going on dates. They've been getting to know one another. And up until this point, Shane has not met Grace or had a conversation with her at all.
Well, outside of their wedding day, when you met your soon-to-be wife's hairstylist.
When you tipped her?
Yeah, when you handed her the envelope on your wedding day. But yeah, I don't know if it was just because if they're trying to build this out and they're like, well, Ashley is definitely going to have higher standards than Shane. That's what I thought it was at first, was that this was an effort between the two of them. And they were like, well, let's let Ashley get to know them first because she's going to be pickier about this stuff.
Okay.
But I'm starting to think that's not the case. And I don't know what Shane's level of involvement is.
I feel like it's just that he's here supporting Ashley exploring this. And it's all his expectation is that whoever is in a relationship with Ashley also is going to respect him, be able to get along with him. And that's kind of it. Like, I don't think that he wants to be involved anymore in the relationship with that person.
They did say that whichever other woman they pick to join their couple, join their family, should be open to having Shane's baby at some point, too. So there would be a level of involvement.
Oh, I forgot that.
So that was another element from the first episode where I was like, oh, right. Like, is there still going
to
be?
They want there to be some kind of biological connection between the kids.
Yeah, and then that way Shane has more of a reason to not kick this person out of his house. I don't know. Like, what's the mentality here? What's the driving force behind those decisions? It's kind of confusing.
Well, so I'm worried for them because what we've seen time and time again in these shows where they're depicting polyamory, and again, these are couples who are choosing to be on TV, so of course. They're usually train wrecks, but not having established rules and kind of just making it up as you go doesn't usually work out very well.
Well, this date where they were meeting Grace together for the first time, Ashley and Shane and Grace all meeting up, I learned more about Ashley on this date than I did about Shane and Grace.
Okay.
Because Shane and Grace were doing all of the talking. And that made me nervous because then both Shane and Grace were frustrated that Ashley wasn't interjecting with anything. So whenever there was a disagreement or they weren't seeing eye to eye, it was just not going well and continued to not go well. Nobody could smooth anything over.
See, that's the dynamic where I guess, like, if you're new to that lifestyle, I don't know if you're going to know how to navigate that dynamic. Because the point that she was at was, I'm uncomfortable because I don't know, who do I stick up for in this situation? I kind of just know Grace a bit, right? We've been on some dates and stuff. I like her. I agree with some of what she's saying. But then there's my husband on the other side of it, and I don't like the way that she's speaking to my husband. And she just kind of froze up and chose to do nothing.
So that was very telling because it's like, is Ashley able to verbalize and communicate the things that she wants in a relationship?
Good question. Actually, Ashley is a psychologist. So I'm kind of hoping that she has some skills that would allow her to be able to do that rather well, but maybe not.
Which was wild, too, when they were bringing up, because we find out that Grace is basically like a life coach.
There's a lot going on with Grace. She sits down and she orders a gluten-free, soy-free vegan salad with no specifics. She's just like, whatever you can make that fits that bill. And the waitress like rolled her eyes so hard.
Well, can you imagine? It drives me nuts that there are people that can order like that, that you would look at a waiter or a waitress and say, bring me a salad that's vegan, gluten, and soy-free.
She's like, this is an Applebee's, ma'am. Like, I don't know. This is the menu.
There are salads on the menu, but like, tell me what salad you want. And then like, we can customize that stuff out. That's great. But to just be like, I don't know, bring me a salad. And that's the only instruction that you give?
I would also never do that because a lot of times people don't understand what those specific requirements are. So unless you say, don't add this, someone might not understand that that doesn't work in a gluten-free, soy-free, vegan salad.
Oh, and if I was your server and I was forced to go back and build your order for you, I would be charging you out the ass for that salad.
They I don't care what it would be. Take her to a salad bar.
I would find the most expensive one and be like, yeah, what is it? It's a salmon something something. Well, yeah, charge for the salmon, but no salmon because it's vegan.
I don't want to shit on her for being vegan, but like, no. It's just weird that Ashley didn't pick a restaurant that fit her requirements for how she eats.
And just to be clear, it's not the basis of, yes, there are people with dietary restrictions. So going in and ordering something that is vegan, that is gluten and soy free, fantastic. But the responsibility, the onus, should be on you as the individual who is holding yourself to those dietary standards.
Yeah, well, I
do
guess
not force that on everybody else.
I don't think she's forcing it on everyone else, but I
she forced it on the waitress to say, bring me my meal.
I think the point is, you're not like at a Michelin star restaurant here where there's a chef in the back preparing things to order.
Personal chef.
There's a menu. They're just making the things on the menu.
So, please help me help you is what that's what I need.
Which at the end, it looks like she got a house salad.
Great. Nailed it.
With some like white vinegar. That's what it looked like she had, which she picked at. She barely ate any of. She did not seem to enjoy it.
She lost her appetite talking to Shane.
Yes, she did, very quickly.
Because he was judging her on her entrepreneurial life coach spirit channeling career, I suppose.
Yeah. So she tells him that what she does is work with entrepreneurs to help them remove blocks that are keeping them from becoming successful. And she does this through connecting with the universe.
Which that sounds like a little bullshit.
And he's like,
that sounds like bullshit.
That sounds like bullshit. And can you give me more detail on how that works? How do you connect with the universe? And she's like, well, if you're not a spiritual person, because I'm sure she's used to people saying these things to her, right? So it goes to, well, you just don't understand it. So I'm not going to explain it any further to you.
So Shane was being kind of a dick in the way that I would be kind of a dick
it
in this
be
scenario
your
too.
Exact
so
response.
In that way. But then also kind of being like, well, I don't really understand it, so I don't even know what to ask, sort of a thing. And then it's like, oh, if you have to ask, then you don't understand it anyway. And it's like, okay, well, that lands us right about where you'd expect to be.
Part of the problem was there was tension between them coming into this restaurant, right? Especially it seems like from Grace, that she didn't really want to meet Shane.
Oh, yeah, she had been apprehensive about it. And I think Shane had some resentment where it was like, why haven't you been interested in meeting me?
Exactly. Where I feel like they both came into this feeling like they were fighting over Ashley.
It became a competition then of who's going to win Ashley at the end of this.
And yeah, it's like, or it was like adversarial. There was no, we want to make a connection here.
Right.
It was like an interview. It really did feel like an interview.
Group interview.
Yeah, it was very weird and uncomfortable. And so it doesn't take her very long to say, you know what? Look at the time. I have to be somewhere. I have to go. And Ashley was like, what? What do you mean? Like you have to leave now? Yep. That's just one of, you know,
spirits are calling.
It's just, it is what it is. It's time to leave.
The higher power says it's time to go.
Shane was probably like, thank God.
Well, yeah. The one point where Shane lost some credibility on my perspective was when they were talking about therapy and where Ashley is a psychologist. And so to have absolutely zero context, frame of reference of like a therapist perspective for anything. He didn't understand how therapy worked. He described therapy as you go talk to somebody who then solves your problems. And it's like, no, that ain't it. No,
that's very much not it.
That's not it.
And that came up because that was the frame of reference that Grace was trying to point to explain how she works with people. And you would think that because Ashley is a psychologist, like you said, that Shane would understand it a little better. But that's where he went to. And she was like, well, it shows that you've never been to therapy.
It sounds like you don't know what you're talking about.
Which was kind of true.
Yeah. So,
because that's not how therapy works. No. But I guess he tried. I wonder how deep the connection between Ashley and Shane really is.
It's kind of, I think it was the conversation afterwards. So once Grace had left and they were kind of recounting to each other, how did that go? Not very well. And then the drive home, too, where it seemed like Shane was doing some of the emotional processing for Ashley, where he was telling her what she felt, which then that was my concern of, like, does Ashley know how to verbalize and how to understand and navigate these relationships?
Well, that's where I got nervous, and I was like, okay, I don't think that he is going to have a role in this relationship beyond existing as Ashley's partner, because he seemed to be trying to guide her away from pursuing things with Grace by being like, you know, I got friend vibes between the two of you. She was really full of herself.
It was like we were out to dinner with a friend, but like not a good friend, not a good person to be around in any capacity.
He is trying to make it clear that he did not enjoy their initial interaction.
And he's not interested in moving forward with this person. But Ashley's still holding on hope. She's like, I don't know. I kind of like her. Something about her. How is that going to work?
I don't. Again, this is another example where Shane has said, that's an absolute no for me. And then Ashley was just like, well, I'll take that into consideration.
I might still sleep with her if that's on the table still.
She didn't say that.
I know, but like that's what it becomes in these scenarios where it's like one person is still feeling that attachment to somebody for whatever reason. We know why Garrick's feeling that attachment. And so that's what it becomes is, well, you agreed to this. We're already doing this, and I want to see this to completion.
Well, I think that's the real test, right? Of are you able to separate yourself from the situation and be able to respect your partner's feelings? And it seems like the answer is no.
Yeah, not a lot in these ones. Not a lot of the time.
And that is the end of this episode. Next week, we're going to meet the Ryans. So we have another couple, Becky and Justin. They've been married for 26 years. We saw her out there in the bar doing her Mary Brown thing, trying to recruit women to come over and meet Justin. So I think there'll be a lot to unpack there. And then we are going to get to hear Danielle's side of the story because it looks like she takes a little ride with the producers and talks about what's been going on.
Yeah, about how she called in an anonymous terrorism tip.
Not that wrong Danielle.
Oh, sorry, different Danielle. Sorry.
You think that's what happened?
I think that was
she
how
made she, sure she that Natalia make sure couldn't get on the plane.
That Natalia could not get her hands on a visa. And that is the exact reason why she was like, you know what? They need to know.
I can't wait to find out that Natalia is not actually Brazilian, that she's an orphan from Ukraine who has been adopted by a family in Indiana. And she's here in the States.
Looking for love.
Thank you for listening. If you want to support us, the best way to do that is by subscribing to the podcast or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Be sure to chat with us about the episode on our Discord channel by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/survivingpod.
Stay tuned, share with friends. See you next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.